But what was so cool was he came up with this idea and he said, hey, I'm going to give the winner of this competition $1 million. And money motivated people, and people came out of the woodworks. And Amy, if you look at some of these pictures, you're like, wow, what in the world happened? You got a motivation. They got a reason. They got a desire to do something. A lot of people in reading these articles, after the transformation began to happen, they said, I don't care about the money. I like what I've become. Yeah. I want you to think about that for a minute. Let's read together Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. You know, Jesus told Peter something very significant that I think we need to always remember. He says, on this rock, I will build my church. And we know that he wasn't referring to Peter, but he was talking about himself. And we know that Jesus is the foundation of his church. We also know something from Colossians, that Jesus is the head of the church. And then we hear him say something to Peter. Jesus told Peter, he says, guess what, Peter? You're getting the keys to the kingdom. And if we read a little further in our book, in the book of Acts in chapter 2, we see Peter on that day of Pentecost stand up and preach the message of salvation, the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we see that day 3,000 souls entered into the doors of Jesus' church. And in fact, in Acts 2:42 through 47, we see the heart, the attitude, the mindset of those early disciples. We see the lifestyle of those who entered into Jesus' church, the one who laid down his life and provided all that they needed for life and godliness and everything else. You know, instead of the Body for Life program, I'm grateful to be a part of the body of Christ for all eternity. Jesus' church is stronger than anything Satan has out there to scheme and come against. Jesus' church is going to last longer and is stronger than any force on the face of this earth. And you and I get to be a part of it. We have been given a kingdom that will outlive us. We've been given a kingdom that actually has a message of hope to the hardest heart, that can turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. We've been given a spirit that literally raised a man from the dead and now lives in every baptized disciple of Christ. That you're no longer who you were, but you're a new creation with a new name, with a new song. And it's all because of Jesus. We have a hope and a future that is bright, satisfying, and eternal. Why? It's all because of Jesus. So, church, I ask you this morning, what are we going to do with what we've been given? What are we going to do in our lifetime, in our span of mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes? You know, we've talked about early this year hearing what Jesus has to say and taking those principles and then putting something into practice, being students of Christ and practicing. And, you know, we've done the Jesus leadership, and we need to continue to follow his leadership. But, you know, we're getting ready to plant Christ in our local communities across the 8 counties in New Jersey. We're preparing to meet in 3 different locations to do it more effectively. But, you know, that's going to require each of us individually doing something different than we've done in the last 3 or 4 months, because we're going to be in a different place. We got to think differently. What's going to be the needs? How am I going to help to plant Christ in my community? But I want you to think about it. It's going to require something different. And I hope today that we can think about that. You know, secondly, you know, we got our upcoming special contribution coming up on June 9th. You know, we're asking the church to give 10 times what we regularly give. You know, that may require sitting down and figuring that out and saying, whoa, how's that going to happen? Lord, help me. You know, Sari and I, we were with a couple the other day, and they were talking about how they didn't know where they were going to get money to take care of this vehicle that was broken down. And then all of a sudden, in the mail comes this check from an old 401k. And it was like, really, Lord? Happened just like that. And it just filled them with gratitude. And they sat on our couch and said, the Lord will always provide. I got to make sure I keep putting him first. Let's sit down. Let's figure that out. Let's blow out 10 times. Yeah. Let's blow out 10 times. And let's continue to see what God's going to do. But I want to share something with you real quick. Put that picture back up of Keith and Annette. Sorry. Yesterday's wedding was super special, because you see two people there that have amazing hearts for God and each other. You know, it was very, you know, it was a simple way. Like I was telling Sari, I love Annette. She made my job really easy yesterday. But Annette was like, look, I'm just thankful to God for what he's done in my life. And something that they did was all of the people that had impacted their lives, they honored them. And they just expressed this gratitude and thankfulness. And it was just so special, because they recognized this wouldn't have happened had God not put me in his kingdom. I wouldn't know these people. I wouldn't have experienced this. And when you have that attitude of gratitude, this is what happens. It says, we're all in. We're all in. They gave these cards out to say, hey, we have pushed all of our cards in the table. We're all in. Brothers and sisters, that's the attitude we need to have. That's the gratitude we need to have for God because of what he's done for us. And to God be the glory. Amen.
Is Russ Murdoch amazing or what? I love this guy. He's doing weddings yesterday, family time today, preaching. He's going to be speaking to the leaders a little bit later on. And I really, it's just an honor and a privilege to work with Russ and Sarah. I love you guys so much. I love that question. So what are you going to do with what you've been given? And I love the way that Russ kind of broke it down. We have been given so much spiritually. God has been so generous to us. He's given us Jesus, his son, who's an example, is an inspiration for all of us. He's given us his spirit to live inside of us and to guide us and to counsel us and to comfort us. He's given us his word that we can open it up every day and get the wisdom that we need to live radiant and thriving lives. He's given us so much in one another, in the relationships that we have here, in the community that we have here, the body for life that we have here. It's amazing. But then also God has given each one of us unique gifts and talents and abilities and opportunities. What will you do? What will I do with all these gifts, all these blessings that we've been given? You know, I want to ask you a quick question. What are your strengths? What are your unique gifts? I know this. You were created for awesomeness. You are extraordinary. You're amazing. You're a miracle. God made you. God doesn't make junk. You are incredible. You've been given unique gifts. And it's amazing how God has created human beings, because he's created human beings in that when we use our gifts to serve, we find fulfillment. We find meaning in life. We can be a trillionaire. We can be out there, you know, with the most beautiful stuff. But if we're not using our gifts to serve, if we're not making a difference with the unique things that God has put inside of us, we feel unfulfilled. We feel disconnected. We feel like we're kind of wandering through life. God has given you gifts and struggles and challenges that you've overcome, that you've faced fearlessly. And we need your wisdom. We need for you to come back to us and help us to understand how it's done. I love what Carlito was sharing up here this morning. Because sometimes we go, well, you know, I don't have a lot of gifts. I can tell you a lot about my weaknesses. You know, the incredible thing that is in Christ is we have this opportunity to turn our mess into our message. Turn our trials into our triumphs. And then to come back with a humility. And I just love it, just even Carlito being able to stand up here and just share about some of the struggles he's been through. I feel strengthened by it. I feel like, oh, wow, Carlito has learned something. And I want to learn something from him because he's suffered through this. He's honestly tried to grow through this. And so he brings back a gift to us and says, hey, let's get together as a group. Let's serve one another. Let's listen to one another. Let's help each other. There's so many resources in here, even with the struggles we've been through and the challenges that we've been through. I'd like you to turn over to Romans chapter 12, and then we're going to have a few people come up and share here in just a moment. You know, Jesus has a crazy dream. Jesus has a crazy dream, and the dream is for his body, his church, to be a community where people are getting reconciled to God, they're getting things right with God, they're getting reconciled to one another, we're working through our differences, we're loving one another, and to be reconciled, but then to grow and to realize our extraordinary potential for life, love, and leadership by using our gifts to serve. This is the truth in your family. In our family, we've got different personalities, don't we, in our families? We got different strengths, different weaknesses, you know, different experiences in our family. And so it's Jesus wanting us to come together in our families, in our life teams, in our friend groups, in our church, to be able to build one another up and complete one another where we're lacking. You know, in Romans chapter 12, it says this. In verse 4, it says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other. We're family here. We're friends here. We're getting to know one another better. We belong to each other. See, as we have different gifts, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You know, the ability to show mercy, to feel and to show empathy towards another human being, it's a gift. And where would our community be? Where would our church be without that gift being expressed through those who have it? You know, we need leadership in our lives. We need inspiration. We need encouragement. And those are gifts that I really want to ask you. I want to beg you to give it to us. We belong to one another. So that you using your gifts to serve can build one another up. Oftentimes we think less sometimes of our gifts than of somebody else's gifts. We go, man, if I had that gift over there that person has, man, that would be fun. Man, that would be cool. I just got this little gift. But that's not true at all. Jesus elevates all of our gifts and all of us. He dignifies all of us because him, the Son of God, literally didn't just sort of bow down and serve or kneel down and serve just kind of one or two really gifted humans. He died for and he got on his knees to serve each and every human being of all time and to dignify us and to say, you are special. You are dearly loved. You are needed. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we really, all of us, start to really bring our gifts to serve in our community, in our neighborhoods, and in our workplaces, and in the world, wow, that's when the miracles really start to happen. You know, I wanted to have a few people who really serve in some really cool ways here in the church come forward and just share. And they're going to be sharing about what they do, what their role is, and why they serve. And I want us to give our attention here just for a moment and to learn from our brothers and our sister, because we're going to be having Gary Heredia, Carlos Parra, and Rhonda Clark come up and share just for a moment. If you guys come on up.
Good morning, everyone. I want to just let you know what an honor it is to be able to share some thoughts with you. Amen. Secondly, I wanted to thank Steve for, you know, asking me to share a few things. And what it is an honor to be able to serve with the ushers that we have. I wish that I had more time to talk about what they do. My name is Gary Heredia. I'm the deacon for communion and ushering. And my role is to bring supplies, make sure we have what we need for communion, for collections, to make sure that we have enough volunteers for serving. And sometimes we come up short. And so I need to make some phone calls or emails, or I might even have to tap someone on the shoulder. So please consider yourself tapped on the shoulder. Sunday mornings, we meet and with the ushers, and we go over the order of service for communion, for contribution. And general instructions, you know, who you're serving with, what section you're serving. Keep an eye on your trays. And encourage people as they're coming in to build them up, usher them into the kingdom, and please sit down front. So our goal there is to do decent things decently and in order, okay? God is a God of order, not of confusion, but of peace, all right? That's 1 Corinthians 14, 33 and 40. Why do I serve? in this context here, in the worship service, I believe that everything that we do revolves around the communion time, our preaching, our teaching, our singing, our prayers. And I want for you to have that time to think about the communion message, to think about what Jesus has done for you. And it was an awesome communion message this morning. It was fantastic. And I want you to be able to have that time to think, to pray, to be solitary with Jesus, and to have that time without distractions or disturbances. So in that is why it's very important for me to help, you know, so everybody gets a place and they're taking, I'm sorry, I'm ad-libbing here. So why do I serve? It's because it pleases God. And it's something that I can do. I know that God doesn't want me to do something that I'm ill-equipped or can't do. I may be able to learn that as time goes on, but if there's something that I can do, then I'll serve in that way. Lastly, is there's a need, whatever the need is. If we see a need, then we can meet it. We don't have to have someone tell us, oh, yes, you can do that. In the wider context of why we serve, there are benefits. Even in this context, there are benefits. But in a wider context, I think of how if I'm giving to someone and building them up, or if I'm giving them information that they need, or whatever it is, that we're communicating, we're building a relationship there. If I don't know them that well, I'm getting to know them. So that's it.
Amen. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Hey, guys. Okay. All right. My name is Carlos Parra, and I'm here in the front to speak a little bit. Oh, actually, can you hear me guys well?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm here to talk a little bit of what I do on AV team and why I serve. But before that, I'm going to speak a little bit about who I am, just so you guys have a little context. I was born and raised in New Jersey. I went to William Patterson University, graduated in math and computer science. I love playing games. I love meeting people, and I love creating ideas. Lastly, I've been a disciple for over 2 years now, and I'm proud to be with God and the family of believers. AV team stands for audio and visual. My main role in AV team is bringing the equipment to Sunday service and bringing it back after. I also help set up the mics and the speakers and all of the cables that you see that are connected to the soundboard and the laptop and projector that play a vital role. I would say I have many reasons on why I serve, but if I would share, the main reason is because I have faith in God. And I have faith that people can change from God. Before I served God, I served the people in the world by befriending them. My disciples, when I was on campus, Mark Piercing and Matt Rupert, not here right now, but can vouch for me that people on campus knew me, and I knew them. I would always talk with random people just to meet someone new. It usually ended in the start of a new friendship. So if I ever saw them again, we could talk and catch up a little. I had met some great people, had done some fun activities, and the experience of it was priceless. However, as a disciple, I'm starting to serve people with a lot more attention, patience, and other characteristics that I wouldn't have had or not yet had as a disciple. So to bring it home on why I serve, it's because I believe in God, and I believe people can change from God. Amen. Amen.
I needed you to help me with this before you left. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, good morning, church. My name is Rhonda Clark, and I have been married next month for 16 years. And I have an incredible 11-year-old preteen. For the past 5 years, I've had the honor and privilege to serve alongside Dave and Margie Mitchell as the administrator for the New York Metro chapter of Hope Worldwide. So practically, Hope Worldwide is the international charity that changes lives through compassion and commitment of the staff and the volunteers to deliver sustainable, high-impact, community-based services to those in need. In case you didn't know, that's what you're a part of, okay? So my role as the administrator has been in making sure that each group in the 10 churches follow policies, procedures, and practices for the 501c3. It also means I provide t-shirts, supplies, forms, and anything each group needs to run their programs. Personally, it has been one of the most rewarding experiences of my life. And if you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5-8, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has used hope to transform and break barriers within my heart. When you see the needs throughout New York City and the church in New Jersey, it's helped me to grow in compassion, gentleness, and love of people in different circumstances other than my own. As a woman who lives in Bergen County, one of the richest areas in New Jersey, there's so much easy access to all types of temptations and fuel for my insecurities. But by working with Hope, it has helped me to grow in gratitude. It saved me from pride, depression, isolation, and filled my heart with gratitude, confidence, and a purpose. As a mom who lives in a time where just going to school is dangerous, serving has taught me how truly resilient kids are and how important it is to support and empower them. So for the past 4 years, my passion has been to spread the Hope Scouts throughout all of the New York Metro chapters. The Hope Scouts are volunteers who are ages 5-17 who strive to live out 1 Timothy 4:17, being positive examples. Currently, we have 5 Hope Scout troops within New York Metro over the past 4 years. The Hope Scouts are creative, concerned young people that are breaking stereotypes of youth today. They are well informed of the negative circumstances in the world and in communities today, and they are taking an active stand to make changes. Through service, the Hope Scouts have had positive impact globally, locally, and right here in our fellowship. And this is last Saturday, we did a Mother's Day presentation at a assisted living. And so these kids are really crossing generational and social boundaries and having fun while they're doing it. If you look in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "Go enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have none prepared." Parents, the formula for happy kids is working together, sharing goals, creating memories and bonds together. We here have many great examples of servants in New Jersey, and it's too many to name in the time that I have, but I do want to thank the New Jersey Advisory Board and the volunteers for all you do. You are truly making a difference. A little fun fact about myself, I have always wanted God to use me in the entertainment or singing ministry, and as I wait for that talent to be given to me, one of the things that I found that if I stand next to singers like Siri, Mary Lou, Wendy, I sound great. So I want to encourage you to stand with great servants in the church to do great things for God.
Okay, I'd like for you to write down two questions, and we're gonna finish up right here. The first question is this: what are my gifts? What are my gifts? And the second question is, how will I serve? How will I serve? And I'd like to just encourage us. I wanted us to have a time of conversation right now. We don't have time for it today, but I really would like for us not just to kind of turn to, hey, what about those Yankees in the fellowship? But it takes some time today in the fellowship to ask one another those two questions. So what do you think your gifts are? And let's help each other with that. And how are we going to use those gifts to serve? Because honestly, if you want to thrive, if you want a fun, adventurous, thrive in life, then use your life to serve. And God will do amazing things. I wanted to thank the three who shared today. You guys are incredible. Thanks so much for all that you do and the inspiration that you are to us. But we're committed not just to sit back and sort of clap, golf clap for you guys as you guys do your thing, but for all of us to really engage with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to really be able to serve and to use our gifts to serve as well. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, from him, from Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As we're moving into our life teams and we're sending them out as mission teams to our neighborhoods and to our communities, as we're moving towards these three different configurations, these county groups on Sunday mornings and for our worship, you know, it really reminds me a lot of going on the Tokyo mission team years ago, and how we didn't have a song leader, we didn't have a count guy, we didn't have an ushering team, we didn't have a worship team. It was pretty much just kind of the 20 of us figuring out, what can I do? We're pretty much, all of us are going to do everything, but we're going to bring our gifts to this nation of Japan, this city of Tokyo, and we're going to use our gifts, we're going to use our struggles, we're going to use our challenges, we're going to use what God has given us, the gospel, to serve. And I'm telling you, when people come together, ordinary people just like us, come together in that kind of spirit, amazing, amazing things happen, and to God be the glory. Let's really use our gifts to serve moving forward. Let's strengthen one another. Let's hold up one another's arms. Let's have some conversations about how we can do this practically moving forward in our different groups, in our different county groups, and God will be glorified in a great way. Guys, it's great to be together. You guys are amazing. Let's go ahead and stand up and sing our closing song this morning.